welcome to the Christian Author Show. From fiction to enlightenment, we offer you all forms of faith-inspired books. So sit back and relax. Here's your host, Danielle Hampson.
Hello and welcome back to the Christian Author Show. This is your host, Don McCauley, sitting in for Danielle Hampson. Today we're welcoming to the program author John DePhillips. And John is the author of The Quest of the 13. It's an epic fantasy with heavy Christian overtones. John is a devout Catholic who grew up in Jersey City, New Jersey, and earned his bachelor's degree at Rutgers College. He has spent his entire career as an educator, working in both K-12 education and higher education. He has two master's degrees, including one in theology and a PhD from Seton Hall University. He had a lifelong dream to write a novel and finally decided to pursue it after losing his job during the economic recession. He was offered a 3-year contract by Crossroads Press to publish his novel and the sequels, of which there will be 3. John, how are you?
Doing well, Don. How are you?
Just peachy. Well, let's start with a big question. Tell us about this book, please.
This book is, like you said, it's a traditional epic fantasy story that revolves around a quest. Has very strong Christian overtones, deeply rooted in Christian faith, Christian morality, Christian spirituality. And I think that's what really sets it apart from other books in this genre.
So who did you write this book for specifically?
I wrote this book specifically really with 2 audiences in mind. The first audience I had in mind is your traditional science fiction fantasy audience. So those who just appreciate a good epic fantasy story, I think would enjoy this. But the second audience that I had in mind is the Christian audience. And it's my hope that through this book that Christians who normally would not consider reading this genre would read this book just because of, again, its strong Christian themes.
Now, is there a central message or perhaps an underlying theme that you could say runs throughout the book?
There's definitely a central message in the book, and I would say the central message is this, that in life there are always going to be struggles and obstacles that we face. And in order to meet those struggles head on, we have to persevere, we have to believe in ourselves, and we have to do everything we can to fight through those obstacles and meet our goals. And perhaps most importantly, not only do we have to believe in ourselves, as we're striving to fight through these obstacles, but we also have to believe in a higher power. And in this story, as I said, Christian faith is really a central theme of the book. And these characters, as they're on their quest and they're facing all these difficulties, their faith is something that also carries them through, as well as other qualities like their courage and ability to fight, intelligence, things like that. So I think that's the central message of the book, that we can accomplish anything we want as long as we fight, we persevere, and we believe.
If you could compare this book with any book out there we might already be familiar with, which book would it be and why?
I would say that my book is most similar to the books of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. J.R.R. Tolkien is a major influence of mine, and mainly because J.R.R. Tolkien was a devout Catholic. I think a lot of people are not aware of that. But when Tolkien wrote The Lord of the Rings, he wasn't even conscious of how his Catholic faith was influencing his writing. In fact, he would later say that The Lord of the Rings is fundamentally a Catholic work, unconsciously so at first, but consciously so in the revision. When he went to revise the manuscripts, he realized just how much his faith influenced his writing. And so when he revised it, he made sure that those Catholic themes stood out. And so, you know, my book is similar in that, again, it's an epic fantasy, deeply rooted in Christianity. The difference in my case being that I set out consciously to make sure that the Christian themes stood out.
What current social factors are reflected in this book?
Well, it's a little subtle, I think, in this first volume. As you mentioned before, this is going to be a series of 4 books. And there is definitely a central societal message in this book, in this series, and that is secularism and the war on religion in society. As a Christian, I'm very discouraged to see what I believe is a war on Christianity being waged today in our country. You see this everywhere. You see this in, you know, lawsuits being launched because of a cross being part of a memorial. You see Bibles being confiscated in our public schools. You're not allowed to talk about God. You're not allowed to wear a T-shirt that depicts Jesus Christ. There's definitely a war on Christianity. And with this book, again, the themes are subtle in this first volume, but as it goes on, people will clearly see the themes of secularism and how secularism really can destroy a society. To me, in my opinion, secular progressivism is a misnomer because we are not progressing. We're regressing. Our society has suffered a moral decline, and the only way that we're ever going to reverse that decline is if we get back to God.
How did your childhood love of monster movies influence the story of the book?
Well, you know, my dad is a big fan of monster movies, and when I was a boy, I used to watch monster movies with him. I can still remember how he took me to the theater to see a double feature of Sinbad films. I think it was The Golden Voyage of Sinbad and The Seventh Voyage of Sinbad. And I used to watch other films with him as well, Godzilla, King Kong, Frankenstein, Dracula, all the classics. But the ones that always stood out to me for whatever reason were the ones that had a medieval setting and a hero trying to fulfill a quest, facing obstacles, fighting monsters. And the ones that really stood out were the Hercules films, the old ones, Jason and the Argonauts, Clash of the Titans. Those were always my favorites. And so when I decided to write a novel, I knew that it was going to be somewhere along those lines. And, you know, all those stories, Jason and the Argonauts, Clash of the Titans, all of them influenced my own writing and my creating this story.
Did growing up in New Jersey influence your writing at all?
I would have to say yes, it did. You know, New Jersey is often seen as an underdog state, and I'll take it even a step further. I grew up in Jersey City, and if you know the geography of New Jersey at all, Jersey City is actually sandwiched between Newark on the west side and New York City to the east. Newark, of course, being the largest city in New Jersey, and New York just dwarfing every other city around it. So Jersey City, while it's not small, it probably has over 250,000 people, it's often an afterthought because of where it's located. And I think those of us who grew up in Jersey City, I think we do have a bit of a chip on our shoulder, and we do feel that we have something to prove. And for me, you know, I've always wanted to accomplish something like this, to be a published author. And I think in the story itself, you know, because again, Jersey City and New Jersey, it just has that underdog reputation. I think that there's definitely an underdog theme in the 13 that a lot of people in the kingdom don't believe that this quest can possibly succeed and that these men can achieve what they're setting out to achieve.
Is there any significance to your use of the number 13?
Yes, there is. There is, actually. And I know that the number 13 has been used in literature before. And most recently, I know people might say, you know, that The Hobbit just came to the big screen, and there are 13 dwarves that are part of the quest in The Hobbit. And some people might think, well, you know, the quest of the 13, the reason why he chose 13 has to do with the 13 dwarves of The Hobbit. In reality, though, that's not the case. Anyone who reads this book and gets to know the characters will see that they are not in any way reflections of the characters of The Hobbit. What they are reflections of are Christ and the apostles. So when I chose to have 13 men on this quest, I had that in mind, that these 13 men would reflect Jesus and the apostles. And those who read it, who know a lot about Christianity, I think it will be evident to them, you know, which character reflects Christ and which of the apostles the other characters reflect as well.
It appears as though redemption drives much of the plot here. What's special about the redemption plot lines you propose in 13?
I think what's special about the redemption plot lines in the Quest of the 13 is that they occur on many different levels and in many different ways with many different characters. For example, you know, there are two very young men who are chosen to be part of the quest who, you know, have virtually no training in battle. You know, they're just recruited into the army. And it's kind of lost on people as to why they were chosen. So I think they feel like they have to redeem themselves from the very beginning to show that they deserve to be part of this quest. Another character is the younger brother of the finest swordsman in the kingdom. They're both on the quest. And the older brother felt that his younger brother was not ready to be there. So the younger brother always feels like he has something to prove. You know, he has to show as well that he belongs and prove to his older brother that he's finally ready for this type of adventure. There's another character who's a doubter, who struggles with his faith, and he wants to believe, but he just can't believe. He can't seem to get over the hump and reach the pinnacle of faith that he wants to reach. And so for him, he's looking for redemption in that sense. So it occurs, again, in many different ways with different characters. And I think that people who read this book, you know, they will find characters that they can relate to and root for them as they try to achieve redemption.
Would you say that you have a specific writing style?
You know, I wouldn't say that I have a specific writing style. It's really, you know, it's kind of strange. I just sit down and I write and that's it. You know, whatever comes to me, comes to me. I wouldn't even really know a word that could describe my style. I guess if I were to give some adjectives, I would probably say that my writing is not overly descriptive. You know, I like to stimulate the imagination of the reader, and while I'll describe certain things in the book, I want to leave some of that open to their imagination. I like to think my reading is very crisp and clear and concise, to the point, you know, not overly wordy. And I like to think my writing style is emphatic in that I can emphasize certain points. And, you know, if I have a point that I want to make to my reader that I want to get across, I make sure that I make it.
Would you say that you're more of a character artist or more a plot-driven writer?
I would say that I'm more of a plot-driven writer. To be sure, you really have to have a balance of both to have a good story. You need to have good character development, and you need to have a solid plot, but I'm definitely a plot-driven writer in that when I conceived of these books, I conceived of the story first and the plot. I played that out in outlines, and then I created the characters to fit into that plot, whereas a character-driven writer, as you know, will create a character first and then create a story to revolve around that character. But for me, it was the plot first, and then the characters came after that.
In your opinion, who should buy this book?
People who should buy this book are those who are interested in a good epic fantasy story. If they just enjoy this genre and they're looking for a good story to read, I think they'll enjoy it. Christians, devout Christians who, again, normally might not consider this genre, I think should read it because, again, it has very, very strong Christian overtones. I think they'll be able to relate to it well, and I think that they'll enjoy it. And then just those who maybe are just looking to be inspired. I think this is a very uplifting, inspirational story. And I think anyone who maybe needs a little inspiration in their life right now would really enjoy reading this book.
Well, time is getting very short, so the most important question, where can we buy this book?
People can buy this book in three different places online. It's only available online. They can buy it at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or they can buy it directly through my publisher at crossroadpress.com.
Could you spell your last name for us, please?
Yes, my last name is spelled D-E, capital F as in Frank, I-L-I-P-P-I-S.
Well, this has been just great. Our guest today has been John D. Phillips, and he is the author of The Quest of the 13. John, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Don.
This is Don McCauley wrapping up another edition of the Christian Author Show. If you're an author or know an author, learn how you can help a publisher publish you by visiting helpapublisherpublishyou.com. Each week you receive a listing of publishers, small presses, and others who may be interested in publishing your work. This is a free service of the Author Show. If you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit www.thechristianauthorshow.com. Fill out the form, and we may be contacting you shortly. And if you're an author, don't forget to visit Book Marketing, the Author's Marketing Powerhouse, at www.theauthorsmarketingpowerhouse.com. We look forward to seeing you here next time on the Christian Author Show.
Thank you for listening, and tune in next time for another great book on The Christian Author Show. To find out more about the show, visit thechristianauthorsshow.com.